mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 76. My father wants me dead, Azula said it half to herself, going over a map of the northern half of the world yet another time. The sun was warm, but the wind off the sea was strong enough to make her glad of the stone walls human hands had added to their cliff-carved sanctuary. Her Dai Li were combing the island for any earthbound dangers, and Tai Li's Onmitsu were watching the skies. She ought to feel safe. She didn't. Why does father want me dead? It isn't efficient. Even Fire Lord Sozin had made certain he had an heir on the way before he destroyed the temples. And father doesn't. She looked up at her two co-conspirators. Does he? Mai shook her head a fraction of an inch, ink-black hair still in its precise Senbon hiding style despite their flight.
Court gossip is sure he hasn't even looked at another woman since your mother left the palace.
True and cuttingly polite all at once, it was almost enough to make Azula relax. Almost. Tai Li? The airbender was playing with the tip of her braid, pink ruffles just a little wilder than they should be. We don't know any rumors about an heir, but since you left the Fire Nation the first time... Tai Li was hesitating. Azula hated seeing her hesitate to do anything. It seemed wrong, like a flutter hornet with only one wing. You've heard something. There was a report that Fire Lord Ozai was speaking with someone in the palace gardens a few months ago, Tai Li obliged. Then our person disappeared. Azula arched startled brows. Disappeared? Disappearing out of the royal palace was no small trick. She should know. She'd only had to hide a body from the catacombs, and that had been messy enough. Gray eyes were sad and sure. We don't have a description. It was a new moon night, but the report said Fire Lord Ozai said Matka. Grandmother, Azula thought in disbelief. Tom Mean was decades dead, and as for Fire Lady Tejina, she disappeared decades ago. Disappeared? The day Fire Lord Sozin died? It can't be. It's impossible. But it would explain so much. Grandfather Shidan, Grandfather Azulon, Zuko's wordless fits. She taunted him for them mercilessly, of course. No one who expected to survive court battles could yield to such weakness. And she was thinking about Zuko because she was afraid. Afraid to face the memory. And she would not stand for that. She was Azula, daughter of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai. And mere fear would never keep her from the truth. Moonlight. The full moon had shone down as madness pried at her mind, a pitiless cruelty that would see everything bow to its will, would break the world to end its pain, and burn all else to ashes. Full moon. And new moon. Two nights the sun and moon pulled together, if you believed pap-like love amongst the dragons. You never knew who or what you might meet on those nights. Mother believed. Mother had also believed she was a monster. Well, she was right, wasn't she? If father was speaking to Fire Lady Tejina, Azula got out, the words like broken glass in her throat, then you already know what she looks like, Tai Li. She smirked, when all she wanted to do was bleed. She called herself Nawahime. Mai's eyes narrowed. The dragon? Tai Li blurted out. But she... The firebender swallowed. You're not human? None of Sozin's line is human, Azula bared her teeth in a smile. Just ask the Earth Kingdom. I know that's what they always say, but... Tylee shivered. Those are just stories. No one believes in them anymore. No one at court does. Fire Lord Sozin went to great lengths to make sure of it, Azula mused. It's just a story. Like spirit vengeance. Fire sages talking to volcanoes. The Avatar. Stories are always long ago and far away. Not here. Not now. No one lives in a spirit tale. Well, she waved it off, except for Uncle. But General Iroh's been odd ever since Ba Sing Se. Everyone blamed it on losing Lu Ten. Who wouldn't be odd after that? Uncle's only child, the shining hope of the Fire Nation. The obvious successor to his father, after Azulon. Brilliant, perfect, everything Zuko and I would never be. The old, bitter rage flushed chill through her veins. Just as Fire Lord Azulon planned. Mai nodded once, thoughtful. I don't understand. Tylee looked between them, fingers braiding the wind so it slowed and warmed around them. Zuko loved Lu Ten. Zuko didn't linger in secret passageways when the courtiers started getting in their cups. Azula shrugged. It still stung, knowing what she'd known. Zuko was her brother. Yes, she'd tried to kill him and cripple him and any manner of other tactics, but he was hers. Lu Ten didn't get to break him, ever. Fire Lord Azulon planned for what we'd be before we were ever born. Why do you think Father's marriage wasn't arranged until Lu Ten was well advanced in firebending? None of Ozai's children could surpass the heir. She met gray eyes, but only for a moment. She wanted Tylee impressed with her sincerity, not terrified. But I would have surpassed him. What do you think Fire Lord Iroh would have done then? Tylee sucked in a breath, hurt. You don't think your uncle would have... directly? Possibly not, Azula allowed. But Uncle believes in spirit tales, and he listens and waits, rather than act when people drop sly hints of what they plan to do. All it would take is one suggestion by the War Minister's faction that the lesser branch of the family should spend time pleasing the spirits by learning with the Fire Sages, and then a few months of laying the groundwork to discover a few old legends that would excuse their actions afterward for the good of the nation. After all, everyone's seen love amongst the dragons. They'd be so publicly horrified after I was dead to declare I was a dark dragon, like Tsukikage, just like him.
The liar, the betrayer, the destroyer of clans.
Mai's gaze never flinched.
Someone who can gather loyalty to him from even the most innocent, stealing it from weaker great names. A Fire Lord couldn't allow someone like that to live.
She shook her head, just once.
But you're not like that anymore. Lord Shidan, he said it would have been his duty to kill you, if you were, to make it quick and painless.
Mai took a quiet breath.
But even if General Iroh had become Fire Lord, a plan like that would never have worked. Zuko would have stopped it.
Azula's eyes glittered. My brother.
It wouldn't matter how sly they were. Your brother can mess up anyone's plans.
My smile was just a crinkle of gold eyes.
Lord Shidan calls it a gift.
Now that was an interesting thought. One which might move their current situation from incredibly dangerous to potentially survivable, if she planned carefully. Our situation. Azula looked down at the map again, testing that thought. mother had called her a monster, and no one should ever trust a monster. But these people believed in her, trusted her. And outside of Mai, who had her own reasons for being here, what had she ever done to betray that trust? Who better to ask? Ty Lee, am I a monster? The airbender nibbled her lip. You've done some horrible things, she said at last. Zuko, he fought you because he was afraid of you, of what you'd do to the Fire Nation if you were heir. I tried to tell him not to fight, but I don't think he understood. You do horrible things to people, but I know you wouldn't hurt the Fire Nation. And there are some really bad people out there, people who would do even more horrible things to everybody if they thought no one was going to stop them. Ty Lee gave her a brave smile. But it'd be wonderful if you could stop more people without ever hurting them, like you did to Avatar Aang. Hunshin told me what you said. You broke his footing on the way, and you didn't even touch him. He must have felt like an elder sucked all the air out of him. His footing on the way? Azula asked, startled. His understanding of what the truth is. Ty Lee blushed a little. You made him see he hadn't been honest with himself. It's like yanking the ground right out from under an earthbender. He must have felt awful. She nodded, satisfied. He'll learn a lot from that, if he pays attention. And that will save a lot of people. Azula blinked, glanced at Mai, whose face seemed even blanker than usual. What? Your enemies are precious to you, Ty Lee stated, as if quoting an old master. They teach you what your friends cannot. She bounced in place. You did a wonderful thing. It wasn't nice, but he needed someone to teach him, and you honored him with the lesson. Another oddly shy smile. You're not a monster. You're just really scary. Mai folded her hands in her sleeves, near far too many knives, raised a black brow. You've been challenged, Azula read that look. Do you want to fight, or do you want to prove her right? Was this what Zuko had felt like 3 years ago? Heart beating fast, hands clammy, certain of nothing except that her people needed her, even if they didn't know it, even if her own father didn't know it. What father's planning? She owed Zuko, her brother, who'd fought for their people even when the whole world stood against him, who believed in her. My brother, who can shatter anyone's plans, even the Avatar's. Azula reached out, tapped the North Pole. Now, how can I turn that to both our advantage? Thumping his feet against one of Toph's bent stone benches, Sokka leaned over the map Zuko had spread out on the table, peered at one particular island marked with all kinds of terse little red warnings, trying not to care what Katara might or might not be doing to their dinner, while Toph threw rocks at Aang. And cackled about it. Zuko had been banned from making tea after Katara had choked on it. Katara had been banned from gathering things to make tea after Aang caught her picking some pretty white and sweet-smelling flowers from one of the temple gardens, and Sokka had managed to trip over that batch of tea before Toph could sample it. Though it had been tricky not getting caught scrubbing out the teapot. Ack. Put that together with the glorious fun of keeping everybody from each other's throats in one small sky bison saddle all the way across the ocean from dragon's wings, even with Zuko and Toph playing tricks with lodestone bending to keep busy, and it was shaping up to be his best week ever. Oh, and based on that nifty little translucent wave and grin he'd seen from a balcony when they landed, somewhere in this temple was a sort of friendly swordsman's ghost, hanging out to look after the air nun's place, probably snickering at all of them. Sokka was sure of it.
She really wasn't trying to poison you, Sokka sighed, glancing at the gold eyes across the table. I don't think Katara even knew what Suzuran was. Who'd think air nuns would keep poison plants in the kitchen garden? Who teaches their kids to ride elephant koi? Zuko gave him a skeptical look. Sokka, that was everyone's teapot. If your sister tries to poison me, she'll do a much better job. He paused. She probably won't. Rip my throat out with ice, maybe. She's an honest fighter. She'd do it face to face.
Sokka buried his face in his hand. You know, it really creeps me out that you think my sister wants to kill you.
She does want to kill me.
And there you go again, acting all calm about it.
Sokka groaned, lifted his head.
Couldn't you, you know, put a little oomph into it? Scream, yell, react like any regular human being?
Never mind. Sokka, people have been trying to kill me since before I was born. Zuko smirked. If I overreacted every time someone just wanted to kill me, I'd never have time to sleep. He glanced away, shifting uncomfortably. I know how hard it is to pick something safe from plants you've never seen before. Back in the Earth Kingdom, Uncle almost killed himself with a cup of tea. That lone brow arched at him. How do you know about Suzuran?
Oh, darn it.
I don't want to talk about it. There's a lot of things none of us want to talk about, Zuko said flatly. Should you talk about it?
Ouch. Fair question.
Aang has a lot of enemies, Zuko started. Not all of them are alive. Frowning, Zuko nodded. Sokka swallowed. We ended up in Xu Jing for a few days. You ended up... The scarred eye widened. You ran into Temuel and Aang's still alive? Sokka gave him a second look. You know about Temuel? She's hard to forget. Zuko was studying him very, very carefully. If she met Aang and he's still breathing... The firebender winced. What did she do to you? Sokka shrugged. She needed something to let Aang go. I can live with it.
You just don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Sokka shot back.
Grandmother scares us with ghost stories, but dragon child ghosts can turn your hair white.
Oh, hell.
That?
Sokka cleared his throat and glared at one too damn observant great name. That was not fair. I had to know what I was dealing with. Zuko looked away. Sorry, I know about spirits dragging you into something you never wanted. Which didn't click. There was no way Zuko could have gotten pulled into any mess that could screw up his life as bad as Temuel's high mine did for a water tribesman.
He said the moon spirit drowned him to do him a favor.
And right after she'd rescued Appa, Toph had said Lee was a Fire Nation waterbender. It kind of gotten lost in the shuffle for him, Sokka reflected, stunned. He knew it had slipped Katara's mind because she knew Lee was Zuko and Zuko was a firebender, and nobody but the Avatar could bend two elements. Only it turned out Yaren could. Witness Longshui, a Kyoshi Island waterbender who, according to Saluen, had gotten thumped with air due to darn near getting killed by a spirit monster.
Zuko flash-fried Fong's army with fire ice. Yeah. One waterbender could have shoved all that ice around. I know Katara could have, but she would have been pretty tapped out afterward.
Longshui was up, cranky, and ready to fight, so he didn't do it alone. And Amaya wasn't there. She was back with the other healers, rested up so she could handle casualties. Sokka let out a slow breath.
If I threw a cup of water at you, what would happen?
Zuko gave him a hard look.
Right. Don't answer that. Not gonna do it. Oh, man. Sokka rubbed at an impending headache. Spirits, do not tell Katara.
I wasn't planning to, Zuko said dryly.
No, I mean you really can't. A few weeks back, we ran into somebody... Sokka glanced around the room to make sure no one was in listening distance. Before, he'd thought Zuko was paranoid for insisting on looking over the maps where no one could sneak up on them. They were in an air temple. Who else could get up here? Except the way Zuko had walked around open holes in the floor with barely a second glance to check where they were, determined Fire Nation guys could get up here. Great! Kinda wish the Fire Nation was all we had to worry about. We ran into a firebender before the eclipse, Sokka sighed. A southern tribe waterbender. Zuko drew back, frowning. But the southern waterbenders were all... taken by the Fire Nation, Sokka cut him off. Exactly. Only Hama found a way to break out. It was gruesome. What she ended up doing to people in the years since then? Put it this way. When Aang first heard the stories, he thought there was an angry spirit loose. So did your grandfather. Sokka scratched under his wolf tail, trying to find any less ugly way to phrase it. Katara fought her. Your grandfather, Shidan, made sure she wasn't taken alive. It was bad. Wait. Wait just a minute. He'd said Hama, and Zuko's eyes had narrowed. What do you know about Hama? Sokka challenged him. Zuko held up a hand and shook his head. If it's the same Hama, Kuzan met her a long time ago. He left records. He paused, obviously picking his words. If it helps, you can tell Katara her escape tied up chunks of the Home Guard for months. Don't think it would, Sokka admitted. I think we'd all be better off forgetting it ever happened. What Katara had to do to fight her, it messed her up. I don't think she's figured out how much. She acts like she's okay. She's not. We didn't have time for her to talk to Dad, and she puts on a smile for Aang, so he doesn't know how bad she's hurting. Toph wants to help, but it's not something she can throw a rock at. And I'm just the big brother who can't bend. Not a big deal most of the time. But what Hama did, it made Katara hate her bending. The part of her that's always been the most important thing in the world. If she found out about you... She might hate herself the way she hates me, Zuko said steadily. I don't want that either. He took a deep breath. And you might have noticed, I don't exactly spread the word around. I know what the spirits want from me. I know what Aang would want from me. And damn it, no. This whole mess got this bad because the face stealer started throwing a tantrum. The only way to handle a spoiled brat is to say... no, and make it stick. He took back the map and smiled wryly. But since you figured it out, now I can tell you why we can pull this off. This, Sokka said skeptically. You mean find one Fire Sage who might be anywhere in the Fire Nation, if he's still alive. He might be anywhere, Zuko agreed, still weirdly cheerful. But I doubt it. He's a political prisoner. He's important. And he has to be invisible. There's not that many prisons that fit the bill. He stabbed a finger down on the map. Boiling Rock, the highest security prison in the Fire Nation. Odds are, Fire Sage Shiyu is here. Sokka eyed the chart, looking at the ragged, near-circular island. You put a prison for firebenders in the middle of a volcano? That's like putting earthbenders in a rock quarry. Oh, not just any volcano. Zuko was almost grinning. The prison's on an island itself, in the volcano caldera, surrounded by a boiling lake. Sokka looked at the map, looked back at Zuko. The Yelren smirk grew a little wider. Sokka pulled out a smirk of his own, looked at the map again, and started to laugh. Boiling water, Oh, man, I can't wait to see the looks on their faces. It felt good to laugh, Zuko thought, especially with someone who didn't believe in destiny or great plans or that every horrible thing in your life would somehow come out right in the end if you only just believed. Uncle, I love you, but putting your faith in the spirits is like putting it in the sea. Sure, it's bigger than we are, it's more powerful. That doesn't mean it cares. Sokka knew that in his bones, the way Kuzan had known Mount Shirotora. The way Zuko hoped he'd know Asagi Tatsu, if he lived that long. You had to respect the world around you. You had to pay attention. But trust it? He felt distant waves tremble through stone and scowled. Turn your back on the sea and it'll kill you. Every good sailor knew that. Every marine. Why couldn't Uncle figure it out? Well, he is army. And Lu Ten's death had hurt him, in a way a younger prince hadn't been able to understand. Even now, Zuko was pretty sure he hadn't grasped the depth of it. Kuzan had lost friends, his wife, his hope, but he'd never lost his daughter. Uncle has to believe that everything will come out right, that there was a purpose for everything, even Lu Ten's death. If there wasn't, what does he have to live for? Hopefully Amaya now, and more than just her soon. Which he was not going to think about. The whole idea still terrified him. Not to mention, if Katara found out that Amaya was... Bad idea, don't go there. Much, much safer to worry about that last argument he'd had with Uncle before they'd left. Which pretty much boiled down to, stop asking the spirits for help, damn it. Agni, that had been ugly. Respect for spirits was fine, offerings also fine, but asking spirits for their help was running up a debt with the spirit world, and Dragon's Wings was on shaky enough ground just staying alive. Asagi Tatsu had challenged them to channel her eruption into a safer, saner course. Taking anything away from that effort was like setting fire to your own rope bridge. Still, that hadn't been enough to convince Iroh. Zuko had to make it personal. I'm a Yalren, Uncle. When spirits want things balanced out, they're going to come looking for me, whether or not I had anything to do with it. I'm a Yalren and I'm your nephew. When you run up debts, I end up paying them. Only sometimes the spirits can't find me. You know who they'll look for then? Anyone around me. Master Amaya, Captain G and his crew, Agent Shirong, and all the Wen clan, including Jinhai. You want to put your faith in the spirit world so Avatar Aang restores the balance? Fine, but don't you dare drag a little kid into your private war. Yeah, it'd been really ugly, because Uncle had latched onto the whole Yalren bit and tried to turn the subject to how pleased he was that his nephew was following the spirit's will to aid the Avatar, which had devolved into knife-edge words over why stopping Ko was not the same thing as helping the Avatar, and exactly how Aang had left Toph hamstrung by her own promises to him, and Zuko didn't want to think about the rest of it. Uncle Iroh had walked off, outwardly unruffled, to enjoy a calming cup of tea. Zuko had stormed out to the practice grounds and shattered enough ice to freeze the base solid. Compared to that, arguing G and the Marines into letting him go without a bodyguard had been easy. Katara's convinced Toph might take my side, and when she feels outnumbered, she goes on the attack. Sokka's got a pretty good idea of how much damage I can do on my own, and Aang's allergic to uniforms. Anybody not from the Fire Nation would get caught in minutes if something goes wrong. Anyone who was would be opposing the Fire Lord, and that's just asking the spirits to kill us. No, the only person with a chance of pulling this off who could get Aang to the teacher he needed without pivoting the Avatar right into another co-spawn disaster was an exile. Granted, as an exile, he was subject to execution on sight, but Zuko was fairly sure he was safer taking his chances with human beings rather than the spirits that swarmed to Aang like mosquito moths to a flame. Spirits. Ugh. What did he do about Uncle? Problem is, he's going to do the same thing he's always done, Zuko reflected, looking back at very old memories. Undermining people to help them. He did it to Ozai when he was Azulon's heir. He kept doing it when my father became the Fire Lord. He did it to me for 3 years on the Wani. Granted, a 13-year-old who'd never been out of the Fire Nation before shouldn't have been in command of a ship to start with. But by the time he dealt with his first mutiny, Zuko had already figured out that the rumors and trouble that sent the Wani chasing across the known world somehow always worked to Iroh's advantage. He'd followed them anyway. What choice did he have? The Avatar had to be out there, somewhere. And he was. But I'm not 13 anymore, and we've got bigger problems than finding Aang. So what do I do about Uncle? He wasn't sure yet. Hopefully, hunting down Shiyu would give him some time to think. Though, that wasn't the only thing he had to think about. I want to tell Sokka. Agni, I want to. Some waterbenders had died in Azulon's prison. But some hadn't. Zuko stepped away from Sokka and the maps, heading over toward the cliff-shadowed balcony for a breath of sea air. The salt was thinner up here, much of it blown out against the rocks before it got this high, but he could still taste it and see the blue water far below and feel the water move with the rush of waves. 2 steps back, as a heavy wave rolled in like thunder. At least Sokka couldn't see his face, Zuko thought, trying to tamp down a rush of embarrassment. They were way too high up here to even be touched by the spray. Unless, of course, a waterbender got involved. Which was part of why Aang and his friends had settled in this part of the temple, nearer the harbor, for now. There was less damage to the structures here, where salt air pruned back clinging vines. It wasn't too far to go to yank a net through the bay to gather shellfish. Most important of all, to the uneasy peace he was trying to keep with these people. Here, Katara had the whole ocean on her side. The easiest way to make it so she doesn't squash me is to make it so she always thinks that she can, Zuko thought darkly. It was a bitter pill to swallow. Looking this weak around Azula would have gotten him killed. It's not forever, just long enough to keep the situation under control. We find Shiyu, I am out of here. Still, as long as he was acting harmless for Katara and Aang, he didn't want to be near the ocean. No sense in tempting fate. And telling Sokka about Lituya Bay would definitely be tempting fate. They're Sokka's people. He should know. But everyone who'd survived their supposed shipwreck knew what Hama had done. To this day, some of them still felt shamed, both by what she'd done, somehow forcing a guard to snap his own neck, and even more by the fact she'd left them behind. Hama went mad and they couldn't stop her, Zuko thought bleakly. She was one of their tribe. She was their responsibility. That they'd been Fire Nation prisoners had only poisoned the wound more. Some had faded and died of it, like ice caught in summer sun. Some had drifted away, taking ships to the Earth Kingdom to lose themselves in the faceless horde of refugees. But some had survived. Zuko knew it, because Kuzan had known exactly where they were. And if Ozai had ever uncovered just how Karasu of Byakko's fishing village really produced such fine sea salt, the uproar would have blown the caldera off the map. I want to tell him we're so close, but if we're captured, they'll ask him where to find other waterbenders. And trapped with the Onmitsu, anyone would talk. Even if death by torture hadn't been an option, Sokka had said Katara's fight with Hama had hurt her. If the Southern Waterbenders thought she'd been trained by Hama's teachings, Amok wouldn't. But Amok and Karasu were a whole other kettle of viper eels. Telling Katara about them would be bad. Damn it, Sokka deserves to know something. If Aang pulls this off and you live through the war, Zuko said carefully, get a message to Byakko. Tell them who you are, your parents and grandparents' names. Ask to send a message to Lady Karasu. She's my aunt. He elaborated. My mother's youngest sister. Kind of a daredevil. She deals in sea stores. Salt, fish, seaweed. If it comes out of the ocean, she brings it to market. Sokka gave him a considering look. This is important. Yes. And you're not going to tell me anymore. Zuko shook his head. Sokka squinted at him, frowning. Is this something I shouldn't tell Katara? Zuko looked out and down at the water again, as a ninth wave gathered up smaller wavelets and smashed spray against the rocks. Note, don't get caught down there when the tide comes in. If you get that far, you can probably tell her everything. What? Sokka set a rock paperweight on the maps, stepping beside him to scan the waves. Is something down there? Zuko gave him a sidelong glance. I've fought spirits. We all have. Sokka shrugged, trying to look like he did it every day, and failing miserably. Any of us start getting too far from Aang, things show up. Sometimes. He tapped his fingers on the balcony stone. And I haven't heard boots in a day or two. That's usually not good. Add in that I know some kind of swordsman ghost is up here. He cut himself off. Damn, I've seen him before. Where? Zuko sucked in a breath, hit by memories of pain and loss. You saw she? That's it. That's where I... Wait a minute. Blue eyes cut to him. You know him? Lump in his throat, Zuko nodded. He saved my life when I was... He had to look away. This was the first air temple I came to after I was exiled. I was angry and... He gestured towards his scar, tried to make it a shrug. I couldn't see very well. I got lost. Not hard to do, Sokka reflected. They really didn't build this place for people who can't fly. It's kind of scary. Stairs that lead up to nowhere, holes in the floor. Zuko flinched. Ooh, that doesn't look good, Sokka sighed. What happened? I got lost, Zuko repeated. No need to get into the details of how dizzy and sick he'd been. Not to mention young and stubborn and stupid, pressing on in the middle of the night when he knew he was lost. I tried to get back to where I thought the ship had to be. Only I ran into a strange little swordsman with a fire built right in the middle of the hallway. He had to pause, shake his head at his own arrogance. I ordered him to tell me what an Onmitsu was doing here. He said his name was Shi, and if I could move the fire, he'd give me all the answers I needed. So I tried. He snorted. Now it was funny. Back then, not so much. Something hit me too fast to see, and I was sure I was dead. You don't turn your back on Onmitsu. Not and live. He paused. Next thing I knew, it was morning. And where that fire had been, in the shadows I couldn't see. Sokka swallowed. Hole in the floor? Went down at least 100 feet. Zuko still shuddered at the memory. How did you know? Dad has a story like that, about an ice crevice and his grandpa, Sokka admitted. He gave Zuko a wry grin. Entimul showed us a little bit of what she was like when he was alive. I guess he's one of the good guys. The water tribesman trailed off, looking thoughtful. Zuko took a wary step back. What? He was an Onmitsu who never wanted to fight again, who came up here so he'd never have to. Only Temul got here right before Sozin's guys, and he and Gyate ended up kidnapping the kids so they'd live, Sokka said half to himself. Temul got them away, but they were gone when Sozin came for her. I was hoping they got away all right, but if he's a ghost here... They did get away, Zuko said quietly. Don't ask me how I know, he warned, as Sokka shot him a startled look. I won't tell you, but she and Gyate, Shidan knew them. They had long, happy lives. Not every ghost stays on Earth because of violence. Sometimes there's just something they need to do. I wonder if he'd tell us what, Sokka muttered, caught Zuko's confused look and turned a little red. He looked so happy with Gyate. If he's stuck here and she's not, that just doesn't seem right. Adan. Zuko still remembered that pain, knowing she was gone, and he had to keep breathing. Death had softened it, but it still hurt. You want to help him. You're a Fire Nation prince, right? He was a Fire Nation Onmitsu, and Aang's an airbender. Sokka rubbed his hands together, like gathering scraps of string into a ball to bat at a pygmy puma. If all of us work together, we can put a ghost to rest. Maybe Katara and Aang can figure out you're one of the good guys. Except I'm not, Zuko argued. I'm just trying to save my people. And if we don't save the world, your people end up fried, Sokka said wryly. Hey, you're helping. That's more than a lot of people we've met. He clapped a hand on Zuko's shoulder. So, how do we track down a ghost? It wasn't right for Sokka to be laughing with him like that. Shaking out laundry, Katara watched them from another balcony, careful to keep out of sight. Toph and Aang both trusted too much for different reasons. Toph believed Zuko would only burn down things that deliberately got in his way, and Aang had been walking around in a daze ever since that night with the drowned, trying to work out what it meant to save the world as Aang instead of the Avatar. Which was kind of silly. The world was what it was. Aang was the Avatar. He couldn't be anything else, any more than she could be the chief of her tribe. Sokka, she trusted her brother to deal with Zuko. Mostly. Zuko might have been a prince, but Sokka still was a chief's son. He knew who he was and what he was. Nothing Zuko could say would change that. Though I don't think he's trying to change anything, Katara admitted to herself, watching them pick up maps, evidently discussing yet another of the Fire Nation's uncounted set of small islands. I think Zuko's trying to help. Maybe. The annoying thing was, it was actually a good idea. Shiyu was a master firebender, and he'd helped them all when there hadn't been a prayer of fighting the whole Fire Nation. Just two scared Water Tribe kids, a lost airbender, Momo and Appa. Zuko always had a motive. His honor, his kingdom, his mixed-up little bunch of refugees and exiles on a volcano. There was always something else behind whatever Zuko was doing. Shiyu had just wanted to help. At least we know what Zuko's motive is, Katara reflected, hanging up one of her chest wraps to catch the sun better. Get Aang away from his volcano and stick a finger in the face dealer's eye. It wasn't a nice motive, but she could live with it, as long as they got what Aang needed. And... it wasn't a bad thing for Sokka to have another boy to talk to. She knew her own temper as much as she knew her brother's. And, well, Toph was 12. And when Aang wasn't acting old and wise as her grand-grand, sometimes he acted like he was 5. Sokka had to get frustrated dealing with all of them. If he wanted to take a sword and hack at somebody just to wear the crazy out of himself, and Zuko was willing to let him... better the firebender than anybody else. And we need help. I just wish it was Master Piandao instead. Or even Shidan. He wasn't human, but we knew he wasn't human. Zuko was like the Earth King's bear. He wasn't any one thing. He wasn't human, but he wasn't not human either. Who knew what he'd do? Toph thinks she does. Sokka thinks he does. And she trusted them. She did. But Aang wanted to believe in Zuko, wanted to think that the firebender who'd chased them halfway across the world could be a friend. And when Aang was hopeful, sometimes he didn't look at everything that might happen. So somebody had to keep a suspicious eye on Zuko, for all their sakes. Though, so far, he hadn't done anything. Yet. Maybe he means it. Maybe he's trying to help. And if he didn't, here they were, right over the dark pulse of the ocean. Right where you can strangle the life from him with the flick of your fingers, when you choose. Katara shook her head and looked out at the waves. Sun glinted on surging water, bright and innocent.